Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, as we record this programme, it's the old year, but when this goes out, it'll be the new year.
Oh, the new, if you had me for a minute, the new liturgical year.
Yes.
I thought, golly, I've torn the wrong page off my calendar. It's not 2008
yet. Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent already.
And we have a wonderful event linked to that. And knowing Pope Benedict, he planned it this way. And that is, of course, to say his second encyclical, which is coming out. To our listeners, we are recording this just shortly before the encyclical Spe Salvi, the Hope of Salvation, is coming out. And so we cannot sit here and give you a brilliant summary of the contents. Those are under embargo until the until noon. And so you'll have to wait for our next show, which will be in Advent. And you said Advent, and of course it's the time of hope. It is the season of hope, of great expectation, as we await the birth of our Savior. So it's a wonderful link.
And as preparation for Advent, this is what I saw yesterday. The shepherds have come down from the hills.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. What do they call the Zom? I've forgotten their name. Begins with Z. The ones that are all dressed up and play the instruments and everything
yes,
else?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. You know, that's the sign of the season for sure.
But it's amazing that they could keep warm because their costumes don't look warm.
No, they don't. And these are days in Rome when you do want to be covered up. Certainly in the morning and the evening, if the sun comes out during the day, you walk on the sunny side of the street. Unlike the summer when you walk on the shady side of the street to keep cool.
And if anybody's wondering what the shepherds look like, all they have to do is look at the traditional statues of the shepherds that go in a crib.
That's true. They do. They look exactly like that. We're talking many, many years old. But, you know, to go back to the encyclical for a moment, I thought it was very interesting. Last week, it was on Friday, the big weekend of the new cardinals and everything else, that the Pope met with, I think it was 143, 144 members of the College of Cardinals. There are now, of course, 201. And the Pope told them that next week his encyclical on hope would be coming out. And there had been a few leaks as to possible dates and December 8th and quite a number of possibilities. But, you know, it's very interesting. If you look back and remember his first encyclical, which came out January of 2006 on love, God is love, that encyclical he himself announced at a Wednesday general audience. And he said, next Wednesday, I think it was January 18th, and he said, next Wednesday, my encyclical on love will be coming out and be presented. And I had heard, I think a great number of us in the press office had heard the varying publications dates, and we had heard that some of the advisors, no names mentioned at the time, some of the advisors had said to the Holy Father, well, maybe there's a little more work that needs to be done on the encyclical. And I think the Holy Father felt, you know, this is what I've written. This is it. This is fine. So he made the announcement, and the presentation had to take place. And so no further revisions were done. So I think it's kind of neat that maybe we can always look forward to this Holy Father announcing his own encyclicals. But, you know, to go back a few days to that meeting he held with the cardinals, it's a wonderful moment of collegiality. Because I can remember at his first consistory in 2006, many of the cardinals saying as they came out of the meeting, you know, now your impression, Eminence, and what did you talk about and so forth. One of the big things they all highlighted, those that I interviewed, was the fact that this was collegiality. They said, you know, when we gathered to elect the Pope, to elect from among us, our peers, in 2005, there were so many cardinals that we didn't know that well. And so they said that this type of an occasion for the College of Cardinals to get together to discuss things, you know where people are coming from. And last week they discussed ecumenism. That was the big issue of the day. And Cardinal George of Chicago told me that Ecumenism also occupied some of the afternoon session. It was supposed to be the whole morning session, and then occupied some of the afternoon session. And then he said a number of the other cardinals brought up different subjects that were either dear to their heart or dear to their diocese, like the Eucharistic Congress that'll be held next year in 2008 in Quebec. Those are good ways for the men to get acquainted with each other. Also, I think to kind of know what languages their peers speak. I did not go to the consistory, but I did meet the cardinals in the afternoon. Did you go to the courtesy visits last week in the Apostolic Palace?
I didn't, actually.
You know, it was interesting. Of course, this year there's 23 cardinals, and so they spread out the courtesy visits, which are run from 4:30 to 6:30 in the afternoon and allow literally anybody who wants to. You have to go through security, but you don't have to have a ticket or a specific invitation. And anybody who wants to can go into the Apostolic Palace, or in this case, visits were also in the Paul VI Hall. I think there were 7 cardinals there. Cardinal Loyola was in the governorate, because he's the governor, if you will, of Vatican City. And then 2 cardinals were in the Fabrica of San Pietro, the office which is actually responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of the basilica. And so that left, what's that, 10? That left 13 cardinals to be spread out in different rooms of the Apostolic Palace. Well, I can tell you from my personal experience, a visiting friend from New York for whom this was to be a first experience, and she may consider it her last, thousands of people had jammed into the areas where you had to go through the security. If you've ever seen cattle prodded into a very narrow passage to then get to the next room where, of course, they're executed, but it really reminded one of a scene of like that, because there were thousands of people, and then all of a sudden you're supposed to squeeze down into a very narrow area thing, maybe 3 feet wide, and to go through security. Kathy and I got in line at 4:10, and we got up to the Vatican Basilica at 6:15. 45 minutes left just for the courtesy visits. Anyway, once you do get up there to the Apostolic Palace in particular, the rooms are stunning. They are breathtakingly beautiful, and the rooms, the ceilings, the walls, the floors, the floor of the Hall of Blessings is wonderful.
Isn't it glorious?
It's just like a magnificent room. You know, and I'm kind of sorry, though, that's where the, for our listeners, if you've never been to Rome, the Hall of Blessings is the huge hall that extends the entire width of St. Peter's Basilica, and it's above the atrium. And it is the room off of which there are balconies, including the central balcony or loggia where a new pope appears when he's elected. And they had a barrier up so that you couldn't go to the window and peek through the curtains yourself.
It's a wonderful view down there.
Because
you go through the Hall of Blessings to the part where we do the live commentaries.
Oh, true.
For radio
That's
and
right.
television. Yes.
That's absolutely right. But it's a magnificent hall. The ceiling is gorgeous. The floor is gorgeous. I took many, many pictures of
I
that.
Often wish that the Swiss Guard, when I'm going through there, would allow me just to get a chair and sit there.
Oh, I know. Just what does it feel like? Well, you know, I have to tell you something.
Raphael was just the house painter.
Can you imagine?
In those days.
Little Raphael, just the...
Yeah, he was just the house painter.
And, of course, some of his rooms feature prominently in the Apostolic Palace for the visit. The Raphael, obviously, rooms, as they're called. But an interesting fact about the Hall of Blessings, before there was even a Pope Paul VI and a, therefore, Paul VI Hall, where the popes held audiences, where John the 23rd held his, was in the Hall of Blessings. And when I went to I was a student in Europe, and when we came to Rome on a week-long visit, and we had tickets to a papal audience, and we were ushered up the Scala Regia, the royal stairway, and ushered into this magnificent room, and very heavy burgundy color, very thick drapes were closed, and the room was a little dark. I mean, they were not allowing the sunshine to come in from the St. Peter's Square side of the room. And I was on the side of the room. It's a very long rectangular room, of course. I was on the side of the room where you're looking at the windows. The drapes were open, and the sun was streaming in. And I thought, oh, my goodness, the Pope's going to come in, and I won't be able to take a picture because all this sunlight coming at me. Well, as he came in on the chair, because at that time he used the sediari, it bore him into the room. As he came in, the sediari preceded him by, 5 or 10 feet, and they went to each window and they closed all these heavy drapes. So the sunshine stayed outside, but in the meantime, magnificent lights in the room came on. And so I have a stunning picture, which I now have in a silver frame in the entryway of my home.
Well, an interesting thing with you mentioning the curtains, the lovely red curtains that go on the outside for the election of the Pope, for Orbi et Orbi, and on other very big occasions. After the election of Pope Benedict, the curtains were taken down, of course. But it was just, for all the magnificence, these incredible frescoes and this wonderful marble floor and the ceiling.
And part of the tiles on the floor are stunning.
Well, the curtains were left hanging over the back of a couple of chairs. And it was so interesting going past and thinking, you know, just looking at these, nobody would know the importance of them and how many people across the world have seen them. And there they were, just like at home, stuck over the back of a chair waiting for
somebody to move
them.
Oh, here, I'll get to these later. Yeah, exactly. So, well, this has kind of been fun. We kind of gotten carried away, and I think before the time totally runs out, we might want to mention, in addition to the many events surrounding the new cardinals, of course, the Consistory Saturday where they get their beretta and the official papal bull, also giving them their titular and diaconal churches. On Sunday, there was the Mass of the Rings. Oh, and interesting enough, I asked one of the American cardinals. I said, now, you know, when it comes to your beretta and the zucchetto that is put on your head at the consistory, I said, are those pre-measured? Or do you just get them that day? Because I was trying to look at pictures on television, and I couldn't see any labels for, you know, like this belongs to Cardinal DiNardo or something. And he said, yes, those have to be measured. You get those, and then you send them to the Vatican, or you're in Rome, you give them to the Vatican, and I guess their name is someplace. But he said the rings have to be sized, which is interesting. The rings were all one size. I did see Cardinal DiNardo's in. I mean, it definitely needed sizing. So I imagine, you know, some are too big, some are too small, but that's what they told me. So all the events, the last official papal event was Monday when he met with the friends and family members of the cardinals and in the Paul VI Hall, and that was a very lovely speech. But I think two other events just even were worth mentioning, if our time allows, was that the meeting that began Tuesday in Annapolis, Maryland. Annapolis is the capital of the U.S. state of Maryland. There was a meeting that began there hosted by the United States Middle East Peace Conference, and the Vatican did have a delegation there. I'm sure our listeners know that many, many countries were represented, and the Holy See indeed had a delegation led by Monsignor Parolin of the Secretary of State. So that was a very...
Well, please God, there'll be peace in the Middle East.
Indeed. And I think just before the bell rings and we have to leave the room, we want to mention the Pope's message for the World Day of Migrants. It focused on young people, on young migrants, how wonderful these wonderful young people with their enthusiasm, their intelligence, their initiatives, their desire to do well. But yet when in so many instances how poorly migrants and especially young migrants are treated. And you know, you take away what the Pope's going to talk about in his encyclical, you can take away their hope. When they are put in camps and in refugee centers and there just doesn't seem to be any hope of a future for them. So the Pope's message for the World Day of Migrants, as I said, focuses on young people. Easy to read, not a long message at all. It is on the Vatican website. Just simply go to Pope Benedict XVI, go to the word messages. It's right there.
And on that note, God bless.
See you next year.
And Happy New Year.
Yeah, exactly.